Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Here on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. You heard David talking about this deal with Verdon, that we've gotten through the second phase of approval for that. The final approval will come sometime later this summer. This is a huge deal, the biggest job-creating proposal in kind of the history of the city. On a similar par level with, and I think even more jobs in the end, if it is 2,000 jobs, because ST Engineering is, I think, 1,600, something like that. So, you know, but we're in the same ballpark money-wise, a $200 million-plus project. So that's fantastic news, assuming that it all comes to fruition. Meanwhile, in Austell, in Mobile, Austell, I had forgotten about this. I had it on my show prep and then just kind of slipped past me, and sometimes that happens, you know. What happens is I get, and John can confirm this, my show prep is in three batches, which is brand new stories from that day, then stories that I just didn't get to yesterday, but they're somewhere between a week to 2 weeks probably old, and they go into my leftovers pile. And then they're so good that I can't get rid of them, but not good enough that I ever actually mention them on the show for whatever reason, and they can be as much as 2 months old, and they go into the older leftovers. So, like, my show prep for today, just as a for instance, and today's kind of actually a relatively light show prep day. It's only 90 pages.
yeah, I know. Only 90.
That's David's over there laughing at me. But right, David, you're laughing, but you know it's true, right?
Oh yeah, you're underestimating.
Yeah, but you know, of that, okay, the first 20 pages is brand new stuff, which is actually a very light day. 20 pages of news stories is actually pretty light. Usually, new stuff is more like 30. Probably on average, 40 is a lot. And then the short-term leftovers are like 40 pages, and then the older leftovers, which is a lot of good stuff on there. But I don't know why, you know, right, John? It just stuff just.
And, I know.
And there's always that pressure to do like the brand new story, you know, instead of doing the one that's from 3 weeks ago about, you know, how men are more religious than women even now. And you think, what? Well, yeah, that's a story that's been on my show prep for like 2 months. It's a really good story. Maybe I'll even do it this segment because I mentioned it to you. But I'd love to clear that one off. But anyway, so the news, you know, from a couple of weeks ago is that in Mobile, Austell has opened up their new submarine building line. Or they've started development of it. They're not building or anything. But the MMF3, which is not the name of a UFC title fight or a wrestling match.
Man, I thought it was. I was like, ooh, is that going to be at the White House?
It's the Module Manufacturing Facility 3 in Mobile. It's a 390,000 square foot indoor facility dedicated to fabricating and outfitting structural components for the Navy's Columbia-class and Virginia-class nuclear submarines. Did you know that in Mobile they're going to be building nuclear subs?
No.
Cool story, right?
Right.
You know, so just these are the things that don't get mentioned on the show. You know, for like, I mean, this story is dated June 4th. It's been almost 3 weeks. Vice Admiral Robert Gaucher, I'm going to guess, G-A-U-C-H-E-R. If he was from Iowa, would be Goucher. Could be Goucher from Louisiana. You never know what the Cajuns are going to say. No, John? They'd say Gaucher.
Yeah, ooh, I like that better.
Gaucher. That's Vice Admiral Robert Gaucher. I don't know why he says it in that voice, but you know he does. 1,200 employees working across three shifts. So that is full-blown work to build these nuclear submarines. 660,000 hours of production by the end of this year. Over the course of the next year. I mean, that's a lot, which is, again, we're building submarines here. So just a, you know, FYI, side note kind of thing. Meanwhile, bad news, but not the worst news. The headline will catch your attention, but the fine print does matter a lot here. Coast Guard helicopter, an MH-60 Jayhawk, that's a Black Hawk painted, you know, white and orange for the Coast Guard, crashed yesterday during a training flight in Sitka. This is, what was the state I had it in my head? And all of a sudden, Alaska, okay? The crew is assigned to Coast Guard Air Station Sitka. The reason I'm not making a big deal out of this is because all four people aboard were rescued safely, even though it took more than an hour for them to get on scene, remote, you know, Alaskan wilderness. It's actually one of the places I've never been that I really want to go, just because I figure you probably ought to go to everywhere that's in the U.S. at some point. Anyway, so the reason for us this is relevant is because we train all those people, right? All of the Coast Guard helicopter pilots go through NAS Whiting Field, 100% of the pipeline for Marines, Navy, and Coast Guard. But again, the good news is that despite the crash of the Jayhawk, which is, again, same kind of, it's the 60, so it's the MH. When you talk to these helicopter pilots, they're like, yeah, I fly the 60. You're like, you better know what that is. You know, no, I fly the 64, which is a different one. That's the Apache. Anyway, no serious injuries reported, so that's very, very good news. Remember the bill, the 21st Century Road to Housing Act? I've talked about this a couple times with Jimmy Petronas. We didn't talk about it yesterday. I didn't know it was on the verge of getting passed by the Senate yesterday, which it was, 85-5. Anytime something gets passed, you know, with overwhelming bipartisan support, you always think, well, what is it? This is the one that's meant to streamline the production of housing in the United States. It's designed to make it easier to get permits, easing restrictions on new construction. I have not read the bill, but, you know, reading the reporting on it, it facilitates grants and loans, and especially when you're building affordable housing, it's supposed to shorten and streamline the permitting process. The part of this bill that probably has gotten the most headline-style attention, this is the bill that would limit anybody who owns 350 or more properties from being able to buy more. This is the investor-owned rentals. You know, when people are buying up all of these houses and then they don't live in them, they're, you know, rental communities. And, you know, we've seen these here. There are rental communities here where, you know, some company has come in and built 60 homes and they're all rentals. And there's a part of you that thinks, well, I mean, you know, at least they're rentals. And there's a part of you that's like, yeah, but now that's competing against everybody else for buying affordable housing stock, especially if people want to homestead and live in their own home. So that's part of this bill. Language banning investors from buying single family homes if they already own 350 or more. I don't know about the enforcement of that, because my mind immediately runs to, well, who exactly can own 350 homes? Is it the Cheap Rentals USA, or is it Cheap Rentals USA? And then Cheap Rentals USA owns 350, and then Cheap Rentals USA. I mean, you know, like shell corps or subsidiary corporations, right? Because, you know, remember what we learned from our good friend Henry Kelly at Blue Ribbon, that, you know, if the limit on importing things below the tariff threshold is, I think it was $800, but if you would have, you know, Chinese Best Materials 01, Brother Store 6, you know how Asian stores often have, you know, Brother Store 6, they import $799 worth of things on a pallet. And then Best Chinese Imports Brother Store 6B is another company, and they import. And every, you know, you put 1,000 of these companies together, eventually it's a container ship and they don't pay any tariffs, right? Remember that kind of concept? Well, same thing here. Why is there something in the bill that would prohibit all these various subsidiary entities from owning 349 houses and renting them out? Because, you know, if you were building companies, you might want to build a company so that each subdivision would basically be a company, right? Just like some people put each property into a trust, right? Or you have a company that owns these six properties and another company that owns those four properties. Anyway, I don't know how it's written, and, you know, I have to hope that the very smart people in the Senate, crap, will have thought of this. In the House, when it goes back to the House now. But anyway, we'll see. There's also some provisions that expand the ability to get manufactured homes and mortgage availability and all that stuff. So anyway, there's things. All right, I told you I'd tell you the religion story. I guess I have to now, because I brought it up, which is good, because, man, I've been dying to get this story off my show prep. It's been in there for a long time. Just to give you a sense, if you care. April 16th is the date on this one. But it's an interesting story. So the story is that traditionally, historically, in America, John, you're a relatively religious person.
Right.
Allegedly.
Whoa, easy.
Well, allegedly can still be true. You know, I've been allegedly married for 28 years.
Okay.
So.
Well, all right. Well, then we'll go with it then.
All right.
Allegedly married. So,
I mean, allegedly might be an underdescription. No, but anyway, in the Christian community, traditionally, who participates more in going to church and religious activities, men or women?
Men.
That's not the right answer. That's not the right answer.
I know, but it's at my church. So.
Well, okay, but your church is weird. I mean, I said for most of America.
Oh, for most of America, it will be the women.
That's right. Women are leading the charge. And so one of the criticisms historically has been that institutions get the results they're designed to get. Okay? Now, whether it started to be that more women were going and then churches adapted and reinforced a culture that was more likely to generate women attending, or whether, you know, just more women are spiritual and therefore they go to church and the church then reinvents the culture to fit that. Either way, the point has been, the criticism of the American church has been that it's a feminine church and that it draws the, I mean, you know, institutions get the results they're built to get. And so if you've ever, and this is not to say like we ought to, you know, Andrew Tate churches, you know, or something like that. But, you know, for example, one of the big mega churches in Phoenix that we went to a few times. It's fine. It's a very good church. This is like a 15 or 20,000 person church, Christ Church of the Valley. It's a major church in the Phoenix area. John, you know?
Yes, I actually went there once.
It's a great church. Yeah. You know, up on a hill with a, you know, on a remote campus.
You,
it's wonderful.
You had went there. Yeah. I went there when I was there.
And his concept, Don Wilson's concept, was build a church that men want to go to and men will go to it. Right. And that's, you know, that's not a new, it's not a brand new thing. But historically, again, in America, the challenge has been that, you know, women are more willing to go to church, more interested in spiritual things. And church reflects that. The premise of the male oriented church is that if you capture the woman, you capture the woman. If you capture the man, you capture the family. That's kind of one of the ideas. Plus, you know, honoring biblical manhood or something. But okay, so back to the story from like 3 months ago from the New York Times. So what we're finding is that Gen Z women aged 18 to 29 are actually the least religious of any demographic, according to a Gallup survey, that they are less than half as likely as women over 65 to say religion is very important in their lives. So the church is kind of losing ground in a lot of ways, not all ways. But when it comes to women versus men saying, you know, what's important to them, men aged 18 to 29, 42% say churches or religion is very important to them, up from 28% just 3 years ago. That's a lot. That's a 50% increase. That's a lot. But women, meanwhile, have kind of slid in the rankings. So what happened over the last like 25 years is 25 years ago, men age 18 to 29, 43% said that religion is very important. And that had declined all the way to about 26, 24, 25% just 2 years ago. And it spiked in the last 3 years. We're back up to what it had been 25 years ago, to 42%. Meanwhile, women, which are currently at 29%, this is Gen Z, this is 18 to 29-year-old women. You want to take a stab at what they were at 25 years ago, John?
Well,
they're at 29 today.
So they must have been at 50?
That's right, 52%. Yeah, so that number has declined almost in half over the same time period.
So I was right then.
In what way?
The men.
Well, I said historically.
Oh, okay.
Over most churches.
Okay, historically.
Over the recent history of the United States.
I thought we were talking about recently.
Context matters, John.
Okay, thank you.
So the reason this is interesting is because it means that if your evangelical or evangelistic strategy, evangelistic would be about the idea of evangelism. Evangelical strategy would be more about targeting people who have evangelical beliefs. I just want to use words correctly. Anyway, they're not the same. And if you're not in the church, I know the distinctions probably doesn't matter to you. That's okay. But what's your strategy for church growth? Well, if 30%, let's say, of young women are eager to go to church, but 45-ish% of young men are eager to go to church, we'll target the men. It's a more receptive audience, you know, for your outreach, evangelism, marketing, advertising, bring a friend nights, designing your church service, what kind of music you play. Anyway, I thought it was a really interesting reversal of what had been the norm for quite some time in the American church. See? Fun story. You only get it at 525. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Why'd I go to the doctor? Working on the farm, my heart kept skipping a beat. I didn't think much of it, but my daughters made me get checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Bands on the Beach is back, so bring a lawn chair or a towel and get ready to enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music each and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. This week, the Disco Kids will be taking the stage, playing the best songs from the biggest bands of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair, but don't bring any pens or glass. Stop by the Cat Country Tent. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion.
Please be advised, you may want to stop eating the following foods immediately. Broccoli, kale, blueberries, quinoa, spinach.
I thought those were good for me.
What's healthy for one person may cause inflammation for another. So how do you know what your body actually needs? That's where Viome comes in. Viome is a simple at-home gut health test that analyzes your real-time biology to give you personalized nutrition guidance and custom supplements. Learn more at Viome.com/gut. V as in Victor, Viome.com/GUT. And use coupon code GUTHEALTH50 to save $50 off your purchase.
You're not looking for an argument.
You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Lucas Rebecca Hobbs. I haven't seen you in forever.
Rebecca?
Do you even age? How long's it been?
6 months.
Time flies.
When we're apart.
What your skincare regimen? Because you're like a young Shirley Temple.
Good morning, 5:27 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Oh, John, this is actually really good news for you.
Yes.
I know this is very important to you. Are you a you're a video game player, but you'd like to do flying simulations primarily.
Right.
But if I take you to the old arcade,
oh.
Are you a video game or a pinball or both?
Man.
I don't mean to force you to pick.
Are we saying historically or we're saying
however
now?
You want to answer it. However you want to. And let's assume that you pay the same for both. Because sometimes what happens is you have to pay extra for the pinball, weirdly, you know.
You do?
Sometimes, yeah.
Normally, I pay more for the video.
Well, it depends on the complexity level of the video game,
true.
Right? If it's those motorcycle riding games or whatever.
I'm more of a video game guy historically, but okay. I've just now gotten into pinball, which I love.
Pinball's the best, man. Especially the old, you know, with the actual physical moving, like the old gas pump, you know, the
you
physically
know there's
moving
that
scores.
Place in Vegas right near the airport.
Oh, the museum.
Yes, and yes. You can play all of
them. Yes, that. It's a fantastic
I love
place.
It.
All of that to say this, long-winded way of getting there. In South Carolina, you finally can play video games under the age of 18 and not be a criminal. You know how every state has like these
quirky
weird laws, you know, and they're never enforced. But yeah, in South Carolina. And a law that's been on the books since 1959, so Eisenhower era, said that anyone under the age of 18 could not play pinball, apparently. Not video games, but pinball. Also, you know, you're in that same law, apparently you're not allowed to run away or sneak into a theater.
What? No. We do it.
Well, I mean, I don't know that they've done away with that law, but I feel like that's just criminalizing teenage behavior. Anyway... for decades, they have been trying to redact this law off the books and getting mocked for it, you know, because you're going to go arrest those juveniles for playing pinball. Anyway, senators in the debate confessed they'd been habitual offenders, one saying he blew his allowance as a teen, and another who regularly takes his 6-year-old to brewery to play X-Men and Ghostbusters machines. They worried that it would lead to gambling and... I guess these days, like, video poker kind of snuck their nose in under the tent in some states because of that. Anyway, so they have finally decriminalized the playing of pinball machines. in South Carolina. So you can freely travel about South Carolina playing pinball if you're a child to your heart's content.
Oh.
And there we go. No, I like the Mr. Bill. It's good.
Oh, no. I got arrested playing Flash Gordon pinball.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Talks with Iran continue, but can President Trump strike a deal with Iran known for being untrustworthy?
If Iran doesn't live up to their agreement, or if they're not behaving, I will do what I have to do.
Talks in Switzerland produce a 60-day roadmap toward a broader agreement, and President Trump warning Tehran to keep up their end of the bargain or face the consequences.
As Fox's Doug Luzzetta reporting, polls are open in the Empire State.
Among the closely watched House races in New York is the one in the 12th District, which has a crowded field due to longtime incumbent Democratic Congressman Jerry Nadler's decision to retire. Candidates include former President John F. Kennedy's grandson, Jack Schlossberg.
That's Fox's Tanya J. Powers reporting. The polls open at 7 a.m. in both Maryland and South Carolina. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, 79 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies, and we'll get a full look at our forecast from Channel 3. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, a high-ranking Escambia County Sheriff's Office colonel has been arrested and since resigned, according to the Pensacola News Journal. 48-year-old Mindy Von Ansbach-Young, a colonel with the agency since 2018, was arrested June 18th. On charges of felony criminal mischief, two counts of aggravated stalking, harassing a witness, and breach of the peace. Investigators say Von Ansbach-Young stalked her estranged husband and a woman that he was staying with, allegedly scratching the woman's car and threatening to harm them both during the divorce proceedings. Von Ansbach-Young was released from the Escambia jail on $15,250 bond. Now, Santa Rosa County Commissioners voted 3-1 yesterday to pursue a 12-month moratorium on data center development in unincorporated areas of the county. Staff will now draft an ordinance language for public hearings before a final vote. Commissioners say the temporary moratorium is the safest legal path, as a permanent ban could expose the county to lawsuits under Florida's Burt Harris Act, which protects private property rights. The lone dissenting vote came from Commissioner Ray Eddington, who said he preferred a permanent ban outright. A former funeral director in Foley, Alabama, at a funeral home is facing charges after investigators say he took money from grieving families for headstones and markers that were never delivered. Baldwin County investigators say Tim Street accepted cash and checks from victims while working at Pine Rest Funeral Home, but never deposited the funds into the business account or completed the orders, leaving some families waiting years. Street has been charged with first-degree financial exploitation of the elderly. Additional charges are also expected. Anybody who believes they were affected is asked to contact the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office. Florida's Department of Government Efficiency taking another look at the city of Pensacola after that January audit that flagged $1.4 million. DOGE sent a follow-up letter postmarked June 16th requesting more detailed financial information in several areas, including city credit card transaction logs, emergency purchase records, and a full personnel snapshot. The city has until Friday to respond. Officials say the city is happy to share the requested information. Councilwoman Allison Patton says the request is typical of any regulatory review process. Well, the Golfarium in Fort Walton Beach is bringing back Shark Week starting on July 6th. The week-long event features shark-themed activities and educational programs, including a shark dissection and feeding experience, and an adults-only shark paint night with snacks and fireworks. Spots at these events are limited. It is 5:35, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We're
are going to be seeing a chance of rain today, 20% chance overall. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 91. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Wednesday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 88. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Going into Thursday, 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 88 degrees. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 78. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Partly cloudy right now, 79 degrees. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. SpaceX's stock fell 16% yesterday, continuing a sell-off that has seen shares tumble over the past three full days of trading after an initial rally from its record-breaking initial public offering. Elon Musk's space and artificial intelligence firm became one of the world's most valuable companies after a blockbuster listing on June 12th. Google shares closed down 5% yesterday, ending the company's worst day on the stock market in over a year, as artificial intelligence concerns mounted and two high-profile researchers departed for rivals in recent days. It was the steepest slide since about a 7% decline in May of 2025. Elon Musk became the world's first trillionaire thanks to his stake in SpaceX after the company's public debut on June 12th. Prediction market traders think that Mark Zuckerberg has the best chance of being next, but he still has a way to go. Speculators on CallSheet give the Meta CEO a 32% chance of becoming the world's second trillionaire. Futures are moderately lower this morning. That's Your Money Now.
Here in Pensacola, we love our Blue Angels, and we'll get to watch their spectacular performance at the Pensacola Beach Air Shows in July.
But how much do you know about the fascinating history of the Blue Angels?
Did you know that the original name of the team was the Blue Lancers? Did you know the Blue Angels shot down Japanese Zeros during air shows? Did you know that Fat Albert once saved lives by preventing a plane crash at sea? Take to the skies and learn these interesting stories, plus lots more, as News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 presents The History of the Blue Angels. Every weekday morning at 6:15 and afternoons at 4:15 through the 17th of July. This special broadcast is sponsored by the Dan Stewart Law Firm and Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze. It's The History of the Blue Angels. Every weekday morning at 6:15 and afternoons at 4:15, right here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know, if you're thinking about real estate transaction, residential, you're buying a house, you're selling a house, you're adding an investment property, whether it's a long-term or a short-term rental, maybe you've always wanted to buy a beach house or a condo. Maybe you've always wanted to live in the city because you've always lived on the beach and you're tired of it. I mean, I don't know. People have all kinds of different things. Moving to the city, the country, upsizing because you're growing a family or starting a family or getting married or moving out for the first time, you know, first home. Or, you know, empty nesting, downsizing, whatever the case may be. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they can help you with that. They sold 209 homes last year. They bought a lot of homes last year as well. And the point is they know the market. They know the price. They know how to stage and photograph and list and open house. And you say, well, doesn't everybody? I mean, well, then why don't they sell so many homes? I mean, I don't know. Maybe they do, you know. And look, everybody's got their people, right? I mean, you probably know somebody who's a realtor and, you know, they sell a few homes a year. Maybe they sell a bunch of homes a year. I don't know. But just I recommend you include Christina on your list. That's all. Just talk to her. Doesn't hurt to talk. Give her a call. Ask her what makes her different. And then you can decide. Make an adult decision. We're talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for you. And obviously the numbers and the results make a big difference in your stress level and your overall happiness and your financial picture. So maybe, just maybe, talking to more than just one person might be a good idea. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
If you're talking about it,
We're talking about it.
The midterm elections. Who will win? Who will not?
One question about the 2026 races is already answered.
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
Campaign 2026.
This is where the fun begins.
Every step, every day.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
On News Radio 92.3. Informative. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Congressman Jimmy Patronis. Got a little taste of Bob Johnson's music there for a second, but that is perfectly okay. I know John was thinking ahead. Welcome back, Jimmy. Good to have you, sir.
Hey, Andrew. Good morning.
Good morning. All right. So you had a town hall with our Attorney General, James Uthmeyer, where I think you were talking a lot about AI and minors and maybe some of the FSU stuff in your Section 230 bill.
Yeah, I tell you, we had a great turnout. I think at one point we had about as many as 6,000 people on the line. The questions were great. We appreciate all the engagement from those that participated. And I just ask folks, you know, look, my DMs are open on Twitter. That's probably the easiest way to reach me directly on my phone. If there's other folks you would like me to reach out to participate in future town halls, just let me know. I've just literally never thought about doing special guests until this past one, and I'd reached out to our Attorney General.
So that's good. Any takeaways? Any big results? Anything you want to announce? I didn't listen, you know, which is my fault.
I think it was probably more of awareness. Okay. The Attorney General got to speak directly to what he is doing regarding the prosecution and what is taking place regarding where ChatGPT and these other AI guided, you know, software applications are just kind of doing the whole replacement of parenting, of friends, of mentoring, of emotional help. It was more also, I just like listening, you know,
yeah.
The questions that we get from the folks that call in are more important than anything else. So we just were prepared with our content and to answer the questions that folks got in.
Absolutely. We've been talking all day today, and I don't want to forget to give you a chance to talk about this. Our Escambia County Commission meeting, there was a news story about data centers coming here. It was never true. It's not happening, especially not the hyperscale ones. But we got a lot of folks very worked up. They showed up at the county commission meeting. They basically had a mob rally. I'm kind of neutral on the subject. I'm open to, you know, the concerns, and I'm certainly open to the possibility that they're valuable for us. The state has done a lot to actually regulate and restrict and make sure that they, you know, don't destroy the water system, that they bring their own power and a bunch of other things. At the federal, I'm sure, you know, I know the president's been talking about this as well. Do you have thoughts about the value of data centers, hyperscale data centers?
Yeah, look, the federal government, the president spoke about this in his State of the Union, and I think his specific was the same way I feel. Look, what gets me more concerned about data centers is I don't want anybody's personal utility rates to go up because some investor group comes in, decides they want to make a massive investment, good for them, you know, but then they go and they flip it and they leave and they're no longer part of the community. And then everybody's stuck with a higher bill to pay because the thing is gobbling up so much electricity. I used to regulate utilities. Okay. So this is something I did for 3 years of my life. Our region already has basically like a capacity of what, you know, the Chris plant can do in Pensacola. That thing literally supplies everything in Northwest Florida up until you get to Lansing Smith over in Panama City. So, you know, it's got its capabilities. You know, we are, you know, embracing efficiencies with like LED light bulbs and all these different things that help drive the ability of that plant's capacity to last longer. But with growth of people, you put more stress on the system. At some point, you know, FPNL is going to say, well, we might need another power generation. You know, they may add another combined cycle generator there. I just want to make sure that that need is only because the people need it, not because some activist investors that are coming in and flying out, and then we're stuck because they created a massive new expense for us to have to absorb.
Yeah, totally, you know, agree. Yeah, totally agree. If we wind up paying the burden, that's one thing. On the other hand, in some scenarios, I can see us getting a benefit. And if that's the case, well, you know, it's the details that are going to matter. And if this is the future, and it sure does seem to be, then, you know, maybe we don't want to say that Florida is closed to the future, but we want to make sure we do it wisely, right? We want to make sure we do it in a way that's prudent.
That's right. And look, SPNL is not out there recruiting things either. Okay. I mean, they're an electricity provider. Somebody comes into the market, what will happen is eventually FPNL will have to do what's called a rate hearing. And that's where they go in front of the Public Service Commission. And they will argue to the state of Florida, this is how much electricity I need based on these needs. And then the state of Florida fights against them and says, well, these are the things that we have concerns about that should not be in your rate. While we don't think you should get as much. I mean, this becomes like a court case. These data centers will be a massive factor in the next rate hearing for all our utilities in the state. And this is why, you know, I think FPNL is like, in most of these, you know, IOUs, they're concerned about moving forward because they don't want to wake up one morning and have millions of angry Floridians at them. They don't want to get in that space.
Jimmy, the Iran deal, we've actually seen it now. I've read a lot of it. I'm not convinced that we are a lot better off. I'm not convinced that it's a total failure. I think a lot of it's going to be in the next 60 days and kind of what gets negotiated out at this point. But what's your take?
Look, I think you've got Iran is a very fractured country right now. I think it's taken some time to figure out who in the heck can actually rationally negotiate on their behalf. This is where we've had some, but you know, the same thing as they have had irrational conversations between these factions over there, same people, you know, it's irrational who's getting to pull triggers. So I think as you've got those over there that are really hesitant to escalate the situation, we went in there and Israel went in there and took out a lot of decision makers. So this is, I'm sorry, it's going to be hard to bring in a good resolution that's concrete and airtight when so many of the decision makers are dead, at least the first several layers of them. Yeah. And now you're expecting this country, hey, let's move on. Let's stop fighting. And you've got those that want payback, and you got those that don't want the wrath of the United States. And you got those that want to keep their bridges and, you know, power in place. And you got those over there that want to, you know, extract revenge. So, yeah, it is what it is. It's not going to be smooth. It's not going to, it's going to be bumpy.
And it's, you know, look, there's a history, right? Before in January, they killed 30,000 of their own dissidents. If the hardliners in any sense are allowed to remain in power, you know, you got to feel that the moderates or any reformers would be afraid of that same second purge coming thereafter if they get safety in it. So, you know, I wonder sometimes if maybe the thought here wasn't, hey, let's take out their missile and drone capability. Let's set back the nuclear program as far as we can. Let's get some kind of negotiated if we can get anything with the terrorist proxies. And maybe, fingers crossed, we can destabilize the government enough that the right people take over. Well, that hasn't happened. And, you know, we got some of what we wanted and maybe not all of what we wanted. I think a lot of the detail is going to depend.
Here's some 47 years you basically had the same leadership and the same regime, the same mind thing running that country. In the United States, we have term limits, and President Trump is the most out-of-the-box, unorthodox president we've had in the last 50 years. So, I mean, here they have been, and then here you got this guy that comes out of nowhere and just punches them right in the face.
Yeah.
You know, so now, I mean, you know, how do you react when somebody punches you in the face? I mean, I think they're still trying to deal with the shock of what just happened to them. So, you know, I applaud President Trump for, you know, getting rid of this threat in the Middle East. But unfortunately now that threat's trying to still figure out, do we push back or do we, you know, comply? And it's not going to go smooth. It never, unfortunately, I would much rather be the United States than Iran. So these guys, that to me, it's only a matter of time before they come to their senses. Unfortunately, the president wants to move on, and I want to move on, too. We got bigger fish to fry. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, we have frequent elections. They go 47 years. We go 2 years. and there's a cost to having right? to do things that way. And I'm with you. I think the arrogance or the complacency that they had was after so many years, surely the U.S. isn't going to actually do, oh, crap, those are bombs. You know, like, I think that's kind of how they reacted right? to it. Hey, on the guns topic, partially because you talked with A.G. Uthmeyer, but also just because this stuff's been happening, mm-hmm. we have the state has declined. It's basically allowed or claimed that the three-day waiting period is unconstitutional. That's in the NRA lawsuit. I think they might have these backwards. Anyway, the 18 to 20-year-olds is now law because we're not defending that, that they can conceal carry. They still cannot purchase. That's a federal law. And then we got the ruling from the Supreme Court about, you know, even marijuana users, you can't necessarily presume that they're dangerous. Therefore, a law prohibiting their use federally or their, you know, their possession federally is not lawful. What do you think about some of these developments in Florida or across the country?
Look, I've always had the attitude that the Second Amendment doesn't have asterisks to it and caveats. It's the right to bear arms. So I'm a purist when it comes to that. I feel like anything that's an impediment to being have your right to bear arms to be able to use your own constitutionally given rights, those are null and void. I feel like if any of them are challenged in court, they should get thrown out. You've got the federal laws on the books, which we are working on. There's a number of them in play, but that's no different than my Firearms Freedom Act. You know, I'm not pro machine gun, not anti machine gun. I'm pro Second Amendment. I just want to have access and make sure there's no impediments to getting your right to bear arms.
Because of the war in Iran, we have used up a lot of our, you know, arsenal stockpile of weapons. In some ways, it can be useful for turnover of inventory, I know, but we have, you know, the claim is that we have low inventory and we need to get back to production. The administration has been talking about using the Defense Production Act, which I think was in the NDAA. I might be wrong about that. You correct me if I'm wrong. But part of turning some of these companies into arms producers is that we would then own, I think, a share of those companies. Can you maybe explain why that's the case? Because I think I see why, but can you maybe walk us through that a little bit?
So I think there's a number of arguments why that should be the case. Again, I'm not an expert on it, but you think about it, if I'm going to go to General Motors and say, hey, I want you to change your assembly lines so now we can build Sherman tanks on it. Well, now General Motors is pivoting from what they know how to do and what their consumer, you know, buys 300,000 of every year, these Silverado pickup trucks, and do it. So, I mean, so obviously you need to show that, hey, I am going to buy some. I do have skin in the game. We're going to partner up till we make this transition, and then that'll be part of whatever cash out or termination or whatever the agreement is to make sure General Motors gets back to doing business as normal. So, I mean, this is where we're leaning on those that know how to build to provide the supplies that we need. And then as we are transitioning back to a point of strength, then, hey, go back and build your pickup trucks. I mean, that's as simple as a way as I can put it.
And the last thing I have for you, Jimmy, we're talking to Jimmy Petronas, is have you been watching the soccer? Have you been watching the World Cup? In my mind, my prediction is that you're such a football guy, the regular American football, that you're not so invested in the World Cup. But people surprise me, so I'm curious.
I you know, it's kind of one of those things. There's nothing else on sometimes, and I love sports.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, there's no NBA watch. I mean, there's so many sports that aren't watched. It's on there. I think it's convenient that they plan this and they're using all of our football stadiums all yeah. over the nation that now are being unutilized. So you know, yeah, I've seen some unbelievable shots. But I think also it's easy to feed off of the excitement of the crowds and the fans and the and those players out there. You know, there's some incredible talent out there. And again, it kind of comes back to the national respect that they have from the countries of origin they came from. I mean, you know, Mbappe comes from an island in the middle of the Atlantic. You know, I mean, how did a guy like this, you know, become as strong as he is now playing for France, you know, coming from Madeira, crazy stuff.
So what's the longest amount of time you have continuously sat and watched an in real time soccer match during the World Cup?
Oh, about 6 minutes. Come on. Too much stuff going on.
That's the real answer.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I got a life, man. Come on. It's at work.
Jimmy Petronas is our.
You don't know how many emails and texts and phone calls I return every day. So I mean, I like being accessible, but that also means, you know, the interest of, you know, international sports goes on the back burner.
I've got 1/15th of a game in me to give you. I love it. Jimmy Petronas is our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, as always, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, just make sure mom and dad, when you go to see Toy Story 5 with your kids, go with them to it. Do not just drop them off at the theater.
Because the issues, you're going to want to talk about them.
Because the issue that you're going to learn about in the new Toy Story movie, you'll appreciate, especially if you've got kids from about 8 to 13, perfect sweet spot.
Oh, it's a great, that's a great promo, too. And it's a good note, absolutely good note, given the subject matter of the movie. All right, Jimmy, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
And by the way, it's not because it's like, you know, adult subject matter or something like that. It's Toy Story, okay? It's Pixar. It's fine. It's the issue is that it's the technology screen toy versus the old school physical get outside and play kind of toys. And you'll want to experience it with them and talk with them about it because of that stuff. It's very relevant for today, surprisingly relevant for today. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about a complex system inside your home that needs repair, like the electrical, the plumbing, the air conditioning, the heating, Peden does all of those things. A generator, installation, maintenance, whatever the case may be, they take care of you. Started in 1969 doing air conditioning, you know, which kind of makes sense. Panama City, Robert Peden, let's be cooler. Let's make money being cooler, right? Okay. And then eventually expanded to the other things, expanded geographically to Pensacola, been in Ellison Field for a long time, but all the way east to Tallahassee, you know, into the eastern time zone, all the way west to Baldwin County, and even the last couple of years all the way into Mobile. 100% satisfaction on the work, good people doing good work, good products, good installation. And this spring, you get 2 years of smart care for free with any new air conditioning system purchase from Peden. That's scheduled maintenance, priority service. So if a lot of people are demanding their attention, you get it first. 15% off the repairs, all included. Call or book online at Peden, PEADEN.com.
Summer is here. And Prim and Popper is ready. From officially licensed Blue Angels and U.S. Navy merchandise to custom engraving and branded promotional products, they do it all right here in Gulf Breeze. Shopping for yourself, buying a gift, or putting your logo on something your customers will actually keep? Go see them. Visit primandproper.com or stop by their shop in Gulf Breeze, located in the heart of Proper on the way to Pensacola Beach. Prim and Proper, officially licensed, locally loved.
Making a few small changes to how you use energy in your home can make a big difference. Like raising every degree could save you up to 5% on cooling costs. With the FPL Energy Manager, you can easily monitor how much energy you're using, see which appliances use the most, and how it affects your bill. Keep more money in your pocket by making your home more energy efficient. Learn more at fpl.com/ways to save.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
In every game and con, there is always an opponent. There is always a victim. The trick is to know when you're the latter, so you can become the former.
It's not all that highly rated, but... It's my favorite Jason Statham movie by far, even though it's not that action-y. Revolver. I love that movie so much. I've watched that, I don't know, 5 or 6 times now. It's a philosophical movie. But anyway, you know, do with it what you will. I think it's like a 4 on IMDb, which I think is very uncharitable. I just think people didn't get what the movie was really about. It's not an action movie anyway. It's kind of about chess, the soul.